tonight, and I know we'll have more folks coming in. I got a special treat for you tonight. We have missionary Mike Coleman, his wife, and his kids are with us. They're going to be serving in Sierra Leone, Africa, in the same location, in the same ministry as Brother Mike Pepper. So we're excited to see what God's going to do in their life. So he got a hold of me looking for churches that were like-minded and found us on the Internet, and it ended up that we already had a great connection through Brother Pepper and Bearing Precious Seed Milford and all of those things, and just happened to send Bibles, 64,000 New Testaments just a couple weeks ago to Sierra Leone. So I want to invite Brother Mike up, and he's going to share with us his ministry here tonight. So thank you for coming to HBF, brother.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Give him some love.
It is absolutely wonderful to have the opportunity to be with you tonight. Is that me? Am I bouncing off of that? Here, I'm going to step this way. I thank you for your faithfulness on a Wednesday night, and thank you for your prayers. We have prayer cards out on the table. As Pastor mentioned, I'm Michael Coleman. I'm a missionary to Sierra Leone, West Africa. Have the opportunity to serve in the mission field that Brother Mike is done his work at these last 20 years or so. And if any of you know Brother Pepper, it's an amazing opportunity. I know that you're familiar with it, and we're going to show a video in just a moment. The video is very inclusive, but I'll give you some kind of the background and the origin of the place and the mission field that we're in. Sierra Leone is a country of about 8 million people. They are, let's say, unlearned when it comes to the gospel. It's not a Christian nation by any imagination. But the word of God is there. They mostly are Muslim. They are also, there's witchcraft there. But here's what's cool. And I love the way the Lord does stuff. And your pastor kind of alluded to this. It's happening. Okay. I can do that. That'll work. Whatever you need. Thank you, thank you. No, thank you, brother. So, the mission in Sierra Leone, and the reason that I'm there, is because of a Bible printing ministry, just like what you guys do. So, to give you some backstory, Brother Mike Pepper was in Philadelphia, and the Lord called him when he was at the age of 61 years old to the nation of Sierra Leone, West Africa. And when he got there, he realized he needed scriptures. And you guys are sending some to him right now, praise the Lord. But at that time, he contacted a man named Brother Al Braley. Brother Al Braley got a hold of a man named Phil Taylor, and Phil Taylor took him the Bibles that he needed. And they gave those Bibles to the military, the police, and the fire force. That'll be outlined in the video. So part of the ministry that you're taking part of now was the root of the ministry that I am in now, which is just amazing the way God did it. Pastor Phil of my church was Phil Taylor, the missionary from Bearing Precious Seed. So about 2015, he became the pastor of our church, and the Lord put it on. Oh, excuse me, that's when he went to Sierra Leone. 2018, he became the pastor of our church. And the Lord put it on his heart to plant churches on the six major continents that we already didn't have one. So Sierra Leone was the one that made the most sense for us to go to first in Africa. And Brother Pepper trained the national there. And that church planted three more churches. At the same time, my wife and I were working and training under Pastor Phil. And she was training, Miss Sarah Taylor was training my wife. And the Lord made it evident that we were going to be going to Sierra Leone, West Africa, and working with Brother Pepper. And then Brother Pepper called a few months ago and said, can you meet with me outside of Washington, D.C.? And so we knew we were taking over the four churches that were there. And he said, I'd like for you to take over my work. I think the Lord's laid that on my heart that that's what you're going to do. And I knew that I would be training under him. So it was evident that that was what the Lord would have me to do. And then he showed me what his work was. Brother Mike Pepper is a great man of God. Sierra Leone is a nation that is ripe for the harvest. And we're just trying to be diligent in the continuation of the work that was started there by Brother Mike Pepper and my pastor, Pastor Phil Taylor. They're hungry for the gospel. They don't have their judgment clouded by the amenities that we have in the United States that make us, that keep us from understanding our need for God. They don't have the money that clouds judgment. They don't have the careers that cloud judgment. It's over 99% unemployment rate. And as you'll hear in the video, the average person lives on under $2 a day, and mostly that's things that are provided them by charities and various and sundry subsidies to their country. The field is white for the harvest, and that's where we're going to go, and it's open. If any of you have never heard Brother Pepper's Access, we have access to the government. We have access to the military. They mandated that the police, the fire force, and all the military, which is all that the fire and the police are all government entities in that country. They're not municipalities like they are in the United States. They mandated that they all have Bibles. And then you'll hear in this video, not only that, you'll hear the chaplain speak about the need for the Bibles, the chaplain for the nation. But then you'll see my pastor, Pastor Phil Taylor, when he was negotiating with the chief of defense about bringing Bibles into the schools. So the great opportunity that I see before us is you're already sending Bibles to a place that God is sending me. It's just amazing to be able to stand with you guys today. And I want to take a moment not to talk about me, but to acknowledge your faithfulness and what God has you doing. Because if you guys were not faithful in what God had for you, I would be rendered ineffective. I will be more effective because of the faithfulness of this ministry and this church. So thank you. And then when you're watching that video tonight, just think about what God has for you and get behind your pastor and just keep on going for Christ. Because if we all are obedient to what God has for us, God can do a great and mighty work in Sierra Leone, West Africa, but not only in Sierra Leone, right here in your hometown. Thanks, guys.
Hello, my name is Michael Coleman, and this is my family. We are missionaries called to the nation of Sierra Leone in West Africa, sent out of the Batavia Baptist Temple under the leadership of Pastor Phil Taylor. God has placed a great burden on our hearts to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people of Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone is a small country with a population of just over 8 million people. It is one of the poorest nations in the entire world. For years, the people of Sierra Leone have suffered through extreme hardships. From 1991 to 2002, Sierra Leone endured an 11-year rebel war that left thousands dead, families torn apart, and much of the country in ruins. Just as the nation began to rebuild, it was struck again by the Ebola virus in 2014, which claimed the lives of nearly 4,000 people.
Looking at Sierra Leone over the years, we have been through a lot of problems. The Sierra Leone rebel war that started in 1991 to the year 2002, then also with the Ebola crisis that consumed so many innocent lives. So it's like the people of this country need the word of God.
Even today, poverty remains overwhelming. Many families struggle to afford food. Children often lack access to education, and health care is limited. The average person in Sierra Leone lives on less than $2 a day. Yet, as devastating as the poverty, war, and disease have been, there is even a greater need in Sierra Leone. The need for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sierra Leone is a land of spiritual hunger. Many people are searching for the truth. But what they often find are false religions and traditions that cannot save. Only the gospel has the power to change lives, to give hope where there is none, and to bring lasting peace that only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Our mission is to plant gospel-preaching churches, to disciple new believers, and to put the Word of God into the hands of as many people as possible. In 2015, the Lord opened the door for Bearing Precious Seed to distribute Bibles among the military, the police, and the fire force in Sierra Leone. The eagerness with which they received those Bibles confirmed to us just how desperate the people are for God's Word. That burden has only grown stronger in our hearts.
If we could do that and have the Bibles, would there be any difficulty in being able to get those to the schools? In other words, if we could print them and get them here, would the doors be open for us to take them into the schools and give them to the students?
I think, they will, get their hands wide open, embrace you. Yes. You know?
The word of God changes lives. It brings purity in man's life. A shape of man. It makes us to grow spiritually, even physically, mentally, usually, academically. You have to trust in the word of God. Jesus came into this world. He showed us the way. He showed us that he is the way, the truth, and the light. That no one goes to heaven except through Christ. And with that faith, I stand on it. I believe I have to make heaven. Because he died upon the cross to save mankind from the cross. And that is why I decided that I will hold up to the word of God till the end of my life.
Our prayer is to see men, women, and children come to know Christ as their Savior, to be discipled in his word, and to see churches raised up that will continue the work long after we are gone. But this is not something that we can do on our own. We need faithful churches who will stand with us, who will pray for us, support us, and partner with us in the mission. On behalf of my family, I want to thank you for listening to Our Burden. Sierra Leone is a nation that has seen war, disease, and poverty. But more than anything else, Sierra Leone needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Churches, will you join us in this work? Will you partner with us so that together we can bring the light of the gospel to a people that are still living in spiritual darkness? We are the Coleman family, missionaries to Sierra Leone. Please, pray for us.
Thank you for that presentation. And I'm looking forward to seeing what God does with our partnership. I invited Brother Michael and his wife Katie back, and their kids Howard and what's your daughter's name? Lillian. She's a pistol. She's a neat little young girl. So and so is Howard. Howard's holding the door for people. Good little gentleman. But yeah, good family. We're looking for, and they have their little infant. What's your baby's name? Afia. Okay. So. I should have had, got your card to read all their names and it's not on here. So I'm like, what was their names? I didn't get them. So at any rate, we're looking forward to seeing what God's going to do with you guys and invite them back for the vision conference in April. And we'll see if they'll be able to make that, but it'll be a good time just to learn more of their ministry. And so they're trusting the Lord to provide for their support, and they're not all the way there yet. So, I'm ready to say if you're wanting to support them over and above, we'll definitely send it to them. As we look forward to seeing what God can do to help us help them along, as he's been using Michael Pepper there in a great way, and his son-in-law to get the gospel where it needs to go on time. So we're really thankful for that. And here comes Ron. I'll help you out, Ron. I'll just take that from you. I was wondering about that. So we're excited about what God's doing in Sierra Leone. We just sent those 64,000 New Testaments. Just a few weeks ago, they were shipped. So be praying for them as they travel across the seas. And it is kind of neat how God has just brought this together tonight. And this is the man whose hands they'll be in. He'll be entrusted with those most likely. They could be there as early as this coming fall. And so, if not before. So we'll be excited to see how God uses all that. And so it's neat how God's just brought all that together. We're excited about revival in a place like Sierra Leone. So looking forward to seeing what God has in a place like that, because it's so imperative to get the gospel there and make sure that folks are getting good doctrine and getting discipled. And the 28 churches reproduce, you know, biblically, and that there's a fruit that remains there in Sierra Leone. All right. With that, I'm going to go ahead and ask that if you're here to study Revelation, we're in Revelation chapter 22. And so the end is more than in sight. We're coming down to the final stretch tonight. So if you have your Bibles, be turning to the book of Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. And I think there'll be, oh, there it is. And so we've been talking about what we need to know before we go. And now we're in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. Our purpose here is to increase our understanding or to understand the revelation of Jesus Christ so we can prepare ourselves to partake in his fulfillment as part of the bride of Christ and increase our understanding of who God is and intensify our urgency in ministering the gospel in these last days. If you need a handout, Brianna's going around right now handing out the fill-in-the-blanks. So put your hand in the air, wave it like you don't care, and we'll be right there. All right? And we'll have a handout ready for you. Just by way of review, we've covered all the way through the book of Revelation. We've seen the first look in Revelation 6, the second in Revelation 8 through 11, the third in 12 through 14, and then the last one was chapters 15 through 19, taking us through the second coming. And then now we are in the millennium and eternity. So we covered chapter 21 last time we were together, and which was a few weeks ago now, so you've slept since then. We saw that there was a new heaven and a new earth, a new city, and new nations in chapter 21. So that covered the content and an overview form of what we saw in chapter 21 as we looked at the text there. Then we saw this week, what we're going to see, I should say rather, is the news that continues. There's a new river. There's a new opportunity to take the tree of life, Revelation 22 and verse 2. And then there is a new throne. All right, so before we jump into that, let's just go ahead and read the text tonight, Revelation chapter 22, and we'll ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word, and then we will jump into the remainder and get as far as we can tonight before I have to pull up and stop. So Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1, it says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God, now the Lamb, and in the midst of the street of it, and on the other side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw the things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren and the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. Verse 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work, as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and they that have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the holy city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this passage in Revelation chapter 22, the end of the New Testament, but really the beginning of eternity. And that, Lord, eternity has no end. And we're so thankful for that. We're thankful for the business that we're involved in and getting the Word of God where it needs to go on time. And Lord, we're thankful for just even divine meetings like we've had tonight already as we think about your work in the world and the need to get the gospel where it needs to go on time. It's so important. Lord, as we have all these new things to look forward to, Lord, we have this, we have a lot of people that don't have new life in Christ. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would stir us up as we consider these things to come in the work that you've given us even now to make sure that all men everywhere have the opportunity to repent and receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and inherit eternal life, entering the kingdom of God. We pray tonight a blessing on the reading, the hearing, and the living of your word. And we just thank you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're talking about the new river, the new opportunity, the new throne, and also a few other things. As we look at this final look, right, we've seen that heaven and earth received a renovation in chapter 21. New Jerusalem had a relocation in chapter 21 and verse 2. A great voice made a proclamation in chapter 21, verses 3 through 8. We saw a description of New Jerusalem in chapter 21, verses 9 through 15. We saw New Jerusalem's dimensions in Revelation 21, 16 through 17. We saw New Jerusalem's decorations in verses 18 through 21 of chapter 21. We saw New Jerusalem's illumination in chapter 21, verses 22 through 25. Her new habitation in 21, 26 through 27. We cover all of those things. And tonight I want you to understand that eternity has no conclusion. So this period will go on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So take a moment just to think about, you know, forever. We are infinite and we're not infinite. Well, we are. The day you get saved, you know, you're going to live forever. But we are eternal. It's a better way of saying it. Our souls really are infinite. No one's soul ever actually stops existing. That's why the gospel is so important. It's either going to spend eternity separated from God or reconciled to God. And so it's so important when we think about eternity and forever, right? That really is beyond what our minds can even process as finite mortals right now. But that's why we have to have the mind of Christ to really give us the insight on what is coming. And we got to take it and believe it by faith because that's God that is providing that. So time without time, right? Can you imagine that? We know all we know is time right now. We don't know anything outside of time, but it will be moving through, time without time, the perfect state for ages to come. And so this is eternity. And what we get here in chapter 22 is just a glimpse into eternity and what it is like to go forward into the future. And so we have the final look here. And if you're doing your outline, the first blank there is the final look. And as we look at verses 1 through 5, we'll see a little closer. As John says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life. So we're really appending what we've already saw in chapter 21, starting in verse 1 with a new heaven and a new earth. And he says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And so all of these things are going to be reset. We know in Genesis that the sun and the moon were there for seasons and times. And so there's months that are still enacted, just like in the book of Genesis. And in the Old Testament, they had a lunar calendar. So I presume it will be back on the lunar calendar since Jesus Christ is the light. And so however they measure it, right, they'll measure it and there'll be months. There'll be 12 manner of fruit and that fruit every month, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. This fruit is going to help heal the nations, the multitudes of people. Verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And again, that's a long time. That's hard to even process in our minds what forever and ever looks like. And so when you look at this passage, and the first thing I want you to notice is that there's a river of life, right? Like that old song, I got a river of life flowing out of me, goosh, goosh, you know. So Revelation 22, 1 through 5, we see this river of life in verse 1, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God, and, notice it says, and of the Lamb. So like Ezekiel chapter 47, and I put a little picture up here. If you go back and turn in your Bible to Ezekiel 47, and you can have a look-see what this is going to look like. God has this recorded for us in the Word of God. Ezekiel chapter 47, in verse 1, the Bible says, afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the front right side of the house at the south side of the altar. So again, this is oriented just like in the Old Testament with the temple and the Old Testament tabernacle, with the facing east. And so the waters flowing out. Verse 2, then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. So this water flows out, as you can see in this image. This is a rendition of that. It flows out to the right side. And he says in verse 3, and when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward and measured it 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters were to the ankles. So he goes out 1,000 cubits, and well, it's ankle deep now. So it was trickling out, and now it's ankle deep. And then he says in verse 4, and he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. So another 1,000 cubits, and it's a, and so now it's up from the ankles to the knees. And then he says, and he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. They were up to my loins. So now we're 3,000 cubits out, and it's gone from the ankles to the loins. So this is living water. This is water that's growing. It's multiplying, so to speak, for lack of a better word. Verse 5, afterwards he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And so this water just continues to grow as it flows out of the temple. And so I think we're having some technical difficulties. So hopefully you got that image in your mind. Turn to Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 7. Zechariah 14 and verse 7. You'll see another image of this. So if you've gone to Malachi, you've gone too far. Then back up. There you go. So Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 7. The text says here, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, just like we read in Revelation 22. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light, and it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And so you see here the waters go in both directions. And then it says in verse 9, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. Okay, so this is dealing directly with what the book of Revelation is dealing with there in Revelation chapter 22. So just in case you don't, you have not put things together, this is why we sing that song, Deep and Wide. Remember? You ever heard that song? Deep and Wide, Deep and Wide. I didn't learn that till after I got saved. I've never heard that song before, but I was in the children's ministry, and, you know, they're doing that Deep and Wide. That's deep theology. Man, you're all the way at the end of the Bible. And prophecies of eternal nature going forward. So that's where that comes from, deep and wide. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide. And, of course, that's a great analogy, too, for the blood of Christ that covers our sin. But the difference is that the Lamb of God will be sitting on the throne in New Jerusalem. The text is clear in the verse, in verse 1, that the water will flow out of the throne, not the temple. right? So go back to Revelation 22. Every word's important in the Bible, and this is very specific. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God. So this isn't just some spigot attached to the temple. This is flowing out of the throne of God. And many years ago, God sent my attention to what it says here, that and of the Lamb. And I don't believe that's just saying out of the Lamb, Lamb's throne. I don't think it's just referencing that. I believe that it's talking about the Lamb himself will have water flowing out of him. Now, there may be others that disagree, but that's okay. It's a free country. But the reference is to the Lamb, not the Lord, right? And so the Holy Spirit is directing our attention, I believe, back to John chapter 1. Remember what John the Baptist said? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now, this is a worldwide rule, right? And it's going to have eternal implications. And he is the Lamb, and the water is flowing out of his throne and out of him. Behold the Lamb. He says that twice, John 1:29, John 1:36. And so when Jesus died on the cross, blood and water, what happened? They came out. It says in John chapter 19 and verse 34, the blood and the water came out when they speared him in, the soldier speared him in his side. And so the water, 1 John 5:8, is not a typographical error or a translator error. The water references the holy blood of God that cleanses us from sin. That's why Ephesians 5:26 tells us that we are to wash our wives in the water of the word. Because it's a biblical, it's more than just a picture, it's a biblical reality. We are saved by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus was all God and he was all man. And so the water of the word will flow freely from both the throne and I believe of the Lamb himself. Remember when he appeared to Thomas, he had holes in his hands, he had a hole in his side. And yet he was able to walk through walls if he needed to, appear in a room just like that, or he could sit down and chow down on the Sea of Galilee or with the disciples. And so he had a glorified body. And so there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, right? And the water of the word will flow freely from both the throne and the Lamb, as the text says. I'd take that very literally. So this is seen in type in Genesis 2:21. When God opened the side of Adam and brought his bride from his side. There was no accident that he took him from, took her, I should say, rather. Unless you go to, I don't want to say, yeah, anyway. Some of these denominations today, it was a him. But anyway, that's a whole nother discussion. That's not biblical. But he took her from his side. And remember that context, right? Where did that occur? In the garden, right? It occurred in the garden. And in the garden where the tree of life was located. And I'm glad we're talking about the tree of life because that's my next point. And so on your outline, point B, there's a final look. We see the river of life, and then you see the tree of life. So that's the next thing we see in verse 2. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. All right, so now we have a river of life, and then we have a tree of life. And so this is a interesting study in and of itself. And it doesn't say trees of life here in verse 2. It says the tree of life in particular, the tree of life. And we know that there are trees that line up along the river, but this is dealing with a tree, and it's for the healing of the nation. So we have not seen the tree of life in connection to God's plan for man since when? When was the last time we saw the tree of life? Yeah, all the way back in Genesis 3:22 through 24. The Spirit records that God quarantined sinful Adam and Eve from this tree so they wouldn't be imprisoned eternally in their sinful condition. Right? He took that away from them. He wouldn't let them eat of the tree of life and live forever in a corrupted state. And so at the end of that first day, the millennial day, 938 years later, Adam dies, right? And the only hope for Adam's reconciliation is Jesus Christ, just like us, but different. But still, that was his only hope. And so, and that's our only hope. So the tree of life was present and not forbidden in Genesis 2:9 until after the fall, right? That wasn't off limits until after they fell in the garden, right? Before the garden, you know, instead of taking the tree of knowledge of good and evil, could they have taken to the tree of life? Absolutely. But after they fell, chapter 3, then God's like, you cannot take of the tree of life. I'm going to guard that thing. I'm going to keep you away from it. And we haven't seen it since. And now all of a sudden it shows up in the last chapter of the Bible. With this river of living water also comes a tree of life. So notice that there are now multiple trees on either side of this river of life. Nothing but eternal life, right? Everything is just living and growing. So for every tribe of Israel, for every soul in the kingdom and every member of the bride. And so there's a practical application for believers in Jesus Christ. The word of God is also a tree of life. It's likened to that in Proverbs 30, chapter 3. And I'm not going to read all that for time's sake tonight. But if you were to look in Proverbs chapter 3. Oh, good. We're back up. So there's a picture of that river of water. So you go 4,000 cubits out and that thing's a river. It goes from a little stream trickling out to a complete river that you got to swim across. And that's just, that's magnificent. And so where are we at here? We're talking about the tree of life. All right. So Proverbs chapter 3, and I have these verses on your outline. So I have a skeleton on the PowerPoint, but the cross references I'm giving you are on your outline. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 18 speaks of the tree of life, doesn't it? When we read in Proverbs, and there's that knowledge that God is wanting to get into his son, teach the son, you know, Proverbs is a picture of a father giving his son knowledge of what to do and what not to do. And one of the things he needs to do is take the word of God and he'll find wisdom. If you, in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are of peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. So God's word and the wisdom of God's word is likened to a tree of life. And so, of course, Jesus Christ, he died on a tree. We get our life. He became a curse for us. Why? So we could live. Like the old, the old hymn. Look and live. Like, look and live. Out of the book of Numbers, right? So look to Jesus now and live. Why? Because he became a curse for us, like Galatians speaks to. So a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, Proverbs 15:4 says. So practically speaking, that's why we fill ourselves with the water, right? That river of life, the water of God's word, it flows in and through us. And you know what? We become like trees. Men are like trees in the Bible. And so we become like a tree of life because the word of God is flowing, not, as I like to say, not just to us, but through us. Right? It needs to flow through us and go to others. And so, so praise the Lord. We become like a tree of life. So there's a practical, just devotional application in that as well. Then we see the Lord of life in verses 3 and 4. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Now, we've already talked about the tribulation saints that have the Lord, he puts his mark on their forehead, right? They're all marked. And so that's a reminder, again, like I like to talk about, we put a lot of emphasis on the mark of the beast. And many people are ignorant that it's all just a picture of our sealing. Like our souls are sealed in the church, in the kingdom of God. Our souls are sealed until the day of redemption. Then there's tribulation saints whose heads are sealed. And Satan's just ripping all that off, right? And he's going to try to bring the world under his domain quickly and seal people with his mark. Well, that's because he's a fraud and he's ripping God off. And so here we see that God has servants that are sealed. And so they're sealed. And so the Lord of life is on his throne in verse 3 and 4. He is now, he's large and in charge. He is on the throne. And his servants are now fulfilling Matthew 5:8. The Sermon on the Mount is now the constitution governing the eternal kingdom under the Lamb. And his servants will see him face to face. Just as our faith will be sight, so too will their faith be sight. They will see him face to face as we do daily as we get in the Word of God. And so in 1 Corinthians 13, and by the way, they'll see him face to face and serve him. We are the bride of Christ, so these servants aren't us. We have a different unction in the kingdom. And so we have spiritual bodies and we're ruling and reigning with Christ. But these servants are going to be there seeing their Savior face to face. Remember what it says when we talk about in the Old Testament, the prophecy where once they realize they missed their Messiah, right? They're going to mourn and they're going to weep because they realize, oh my gosh, we crucified our Messiah. and then they're going to get to see him face to face. So it's going to be an incredible thing for those tribulation saints. And his servants will see him face to face, just as our faith will be sight. So 1 Corinthians 13:12, we will not be convicted to wrestle with flesh, but enjoy the intimate relationship we now have with our husband in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to be in a situation now where we are free from our terrestrial bodies, and we'll have celestial bodies. And we will be one with Christ. Like a husband and a wife is just a picture of our unity that we will have in Christ. And we will be like Christ in every sense of the word. It's going to be incredible. For now, we see through a glass darkly, but then, you know what 1 Corinthians 13:12 says? Face to face. Paul said, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And so we talk about that and how God has revealed the truth through the fulfillment of the New Testament, and he has. But there's also a time coming where we're going to see Jesus face to face. And that's why we're waiting right now, right? That we've already covered this in a great detail, but we don't wait until the end of the tribulation, the second coming. A lot of our brothers are teaching that. At the end of the day, we are waiting for the trumpet to mobilize us. I was just going through Numbers, looking at the silver trumpets this last week, as a matter of fact. And you know, I got to share this. This is new, not new, but if I knew it before, I forgot it. In the book of Numbers, and forgive me here because this is going to throw my time off a little bit, but it's not in this. I just realized it's in this Bible. The text is, but my notes aren't. I got my notes in my other Bible. But when God is calling up the, in chapter 10 of Numbers, and it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver of a whole piece, shalt thou make them, and thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly. I've read this, I don't know how many times, but I saw that, and I was like, oh, that's what we are, is a called out assembly. And so these silver trumpets are for the calling of the assembly and for the journeyings of the camps. And we know from Exodus that Israel is called an army, right? Even when they weren't an army, when they were slaves, they were called an army. And God pulled them out as an army. He identified them as his son and as an army. And so here we see that they're a called out assembly, but they're also an assembly called by these silver trumpets. So when they hear these silver trumpets, what are they to do? They're to move. They're to move where God tells them to move. Okay? Verse 3, and when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And it gets into the different iterations of blowing and which tribes are going to move, and I'm not going to bore you with that. But I find it interesting that when I look at that, you know, a lot of my brothers get into the shofar trumpets because they tie into the feast days and all of that, which is, by the way, is excellent study. And the feast days are really important because the end times, Daniel's 70th week will land right on the feast days, just like the Old Testament talks about. But when it comes to us and our movement, our troop movement, it is not dependent on a feast day. God has already saved us from this world. He's already assembled us in this wilderness, and we're just waiting. We're just waiting for him to blow the trumpet and call this assembly home. And so that's what we saw in Revelation 4:1, right? Revelation 4:1, that's what you see is, after this I looked, and behold, a door. Where was that silver trumpet calling? To the door of the tabernacle. There's a day coming when God's going to blow the trumpet, and we're going to meet him in the clouds. But where's he taking us? He's taking us home to his dwelling place, which is, of course, the third heaven. And so that's where we're going to be until we return at the second coming. And then at this time, we'll be ruling and reigning with Christ. So it'll be an incredible time for us. So anyway, those are just some cool little nuggets I was reading on yesterday. So Jesus has fulfilled his work in 1 Corinthians 15:24-28. He doesn't give up his humanity, but his title, Son of Man. As he steps back into the Godhead as the Son of God, he now acts in unity, so God shall be all in all. So look in here. I don't have this on the screen. So look in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And down around verse 24. So 1 Corinthians 15 is the resurrection chapter. And that's the two terms I've already thrown at you. Celestial and terrestrial. Those two bodies. This is a terrestrial, earthly body, and then someday we get a celestial body, I get that out of 1 Corinthians 15. Paul speaks of that there very clearly. And also talks about the glory, the difference. There's a glory in celestial bodies. There's different magnifications of glory, which is what the judgment seat of Christ will mete out. Is you know, how bright of a bulb are we? You know, some will be like a little bitty bulb. You know, some will be have a lot more intensity. You know, it's all depending on how we served him. But you'll notice here in 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 24, the Bible says in verse 24, then come at the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. We already saw that in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. So by now, that's all fulfilled. So we're now past that, right? And so now we're in verse 27. And he goes on to say, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith, all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. That's kind of wild to think about what he's saying there, but there's coming a day when God is going to unify in the Godhead, and he will be all in all. At this time, we enter into the ages to come. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his graces in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So so at this time, we enter into the ages to come as he steps back. What I call, this came up several years ago. I mentioned this and it blew some people's minds. So they sent me questions and stuff. That's why I want to pause here for just a moment. So what am I saying? I'm not saying that Jesus is not part of the Godhead. I want to make that clear. He is part of the Godhead. I'm talking about how he has functioned up until this point, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one, right? And so, and that's super clear. We know that. We understand that. But there's a point where he, the Son, comes underneath the Father, and he's all in all. And I'm not quite sure what all that means, but I know this. David is going to sit on the throne forever. And we go on for, we all go on forever. And God doesn't go anywhere. He's always, right? He is. He's eternal, eternity past, eternal future. But we know that the Godhead is God. He is God. And so in the ages to come, he's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So we are a particular, our salvation and then our glorification at this point, our salvation is no longer the issue. It's our glorification. It's going to be manifest forever and ever and ever, the kindness of this one God. And there's no question about it. We will be the evidence of it. And we will, again, we are the bride of Christ. We will make him look good because, well, he's made us look good, right? And so it's going to be a beautiful thing. And it's going to be, and it's not just going to be, it is an eternal thing. And so the things that we do now, like Sunday, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. As much as we do remember what Jesus did 2,000 years ago before he fulfilled the Passover feast, we also understand that there's coming a day after he calls us to the tabernacle, we're going to have a marriage feast, right? And he's going to redeem not just us. He's already redeemed us. He's going to redeem all of the world that wants him, and he's going to condemn all those that won't receive him. And so it's all going to come to pass, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. And we are going to show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ in the ages to come. And once you start talking about ages to come, you're going to have to talk to some other preacher because I don't even understand that. That gets so far away from where we are today. I don't even, it just goes on and on. And so there are ages in the Bible. And, you know, Clarence Larkin gives you seven ages, and you can look at that and all of that. But, you know, it, obviously, we're talking about eternity future. All right. So let me try to do this. I'm looking at how much time I got left here. I think I'll stop on this one. The Lord of Light, chapter 22 and verse 5. So Revelation 22, 5. The Bible says, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So he's the Lord of light, right? God's glory will be manifest to the entire universe. And so that's an amazing thing to consider, right? His light is going to be manifest to the entire universe. God's glory, I should say, to be more specific. So God's glory will be manifest to the entire universe. He will outshine the stars of heaven because he is the Son of Righteousness, right? Malachi 4:2, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. Well, that's a metaphor of him being, you know, like the light of the world. He is the light of the world. And we think of that, yeah, that's spiritual light. Well, guess what? Someday it's also going to be physical. Like, he literally is the light of the world. He's literally the light of the universe. And so in Psalms chapter 36 and verse 9, the Bible says, for with thee is thy fountain of life. We talked about the water, right? And thy light shall we see light. In thy light shall we see light. Right? And so I think there's probably some things in the text that I just read about seeing light in the light. Of course, we think of that in a spiritual context, but that also could mean once we get out of these bodies, we have a glorified body, we will see light that we've never seen, whatever that means. And we all like to see light shows, and we like to see light reflecting, right? Like, we're simple creatures. You throw a little mirrored ball up in the air and point some colored lights at it and let it spin around. We're like, yeah, we're having a party now, right? Well, why are we so enamored by some lights? Because, well, he's the God of lights. And so I think there's more to it than that. I think we innately understand that when we're having a celebration, there's lights, right? And so the world, of course, the devil's, he's the author of the praise department before he fell there. And so that was his job. So he knows how to put on a good party, right? When you look at the throne and you're in the third heaven and you have a rainbow that's complete, a 360 degree rainbow, it's full of light. And of course, we know that a rainbow refracts light, right? At least in our atmosphere, it's water refracting light like a prism. And so here we have God. He's the God of the water, right? He's a fountain of water. And water's coming from him. There's light coming from, emanating from him. So this is some, and guys, I don't even understand what I'm talking about. I'm just talking on what I know. The evidence is here. There is glory resonating in ways that is going to be so glorious that we'll probably have to just be there to really fully grasp what I'm talking about. But it's going to be an incredible light show. He is the God of light, and being in his light, we will see light. Whatever that means. In Psalms 36 and verse 9, which of course we can spiritualize that, which we should. But I think when you're talking about eternity future, it's going to be an incredible thing. For a day in his courts, Psalms 84:10, for a day in his courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be the doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. S-U-N. He's a sun and a shield. I don't know about y'all, but the sun, as far as our sky is concerned, there's not a brighter star in the sky than the sun. That's why Malachi 4 is very clear about the Son of Righteousness will arise. So he is going to be illuminated. And he's also a shield, praise God, or we get burnt. And so it goes on to say, the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. That's something to meditate on. 1 Corinthians 15, we've already been there. It says in verse 41, there is one glory of the sun. We know what that's like. It's bright. It'll burn you. And another glory of the moon. And it can be bright, but it's not going to burn you. And another glory of the stars, which in their brightest illumination doesn't eclipse the moon or the sun. And by the way, we're like stars, and we'll never outshine the sun, right? He is the primary light. All of those things are there for us to understand what glory is about. And he says that one star, this is the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 15:41, one star differeth from another star in glory. So one star differeth from another star in glory. And so That's why we're studying the book of Revelation. Because ultimately, if it doesn't get practical, it's not really good. Not good preaching, not good teaching. So the reality of this thing is what we do today is going to affect that glory that will be revealed in us. Right? There will be glory revealed in us. And that we know right now the only glory that's worth anything in us, there is no, it's all vain glory unless it's the glory of the Lord. Right? And so whether we eat or drink, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31 there, whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of the Lord. But we don't always do that. Right? And so we can play games here on earth. We can be hypocrites. We can act like we're doing good, but we're really not. Well, you know what? You can fool me all the time, but you can't fool God any of the time. And at the judgment seat of Christ, all that gets worked out. And each star, we're not talking about suns. We're talking about, S-U-N, we're talking about stars. Each star will have their magnification and glory. You ever go out at night, and you see that? Is that a star up there? Like you're looking at it and it's dark and then it's twinkle. Like the old song, twinkle, twinkle, little star. It's so dim you can barely even tell it's up there. Some of them you don't even notice. Right? Because any other light around them, they just get eclipsed. Well, hey, you know what? It's good to be a doorkeeper in heaven. It doesn't matter, if there's any glory or not. It's not really about us. Really what that magnification of glory is all about is how much we really appreciate the Son of Righteousness. All of our service is really about gratitude. And it's pretty obvious that we take God for granted. And we don't have the gratitude that we ought to have. And that becomes what is manifest in our actions and our attitudes and all the things that we attempt to do for God's glory that won't get blessed unless He blesses it. We get all that. But the reality at the end of the day is that all of this glory isn't about us having glory. It's about having something that we can give back to God. And that is our light. Any light that we have in glory, man, where do we want that going? We want it going right back to Jesus, where we got it. That's where it needs to go. And I tell you what, I think there's going to be a lot of us at the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, we're saved, yet so as by fire. And you come away, there's going to be some light bulbs that, man, they aren't going to have any, they're going to have very, very low dim. They're going to be very dim, as I should say. They're going to have very low lumens. They're going to be very... it's going to be hard to cast a lot of glory on the Lord because they didn't give Him any. Hey, they're saved. Praise the Lord. But man, that's not what we want. That's not why God saved us. That's not why God put us in the body of Christ. That's not why He's given us the gospel. That's not why He's given us the Word of God. He's given us all these things. He's given us the end of the story so that we can actually do something with it in the time that we've got. And by God's grace, we will. And so next week when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more. I'll finish this up, but we'll talk about the final word. So he kind of changes. That was my point one. So I made it through that. The final look. So next week we'll talk about the final word. So come back with your outlines and we'll finish that up. And hopefully we'll have some more Christmas music. That was good. Good job, guys. And Brenton, if you're here, you should hit the drums, man. That'll be good. All right, so let's go ahead and prepare to get ready for our prayer meeting, and as we do that, I'm going to pray. And if you're joining us online, we're glad that you're with us. After I'm done praying, the camera will go off, so we're glad that you joined us. We hope to see you here if you can physically make it on Sunday. We'd love to have you here at HBF. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then I'll transition to the prayer pieces. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to meet together. And to study your word in Revelation chapter 22. Thank you for the work that's going on in discipleship too tonight. Thank you for those that are watching the children, those that are teaching at the youth, and all the good times they're having over there. Thank you for our dear brother, Michael, that came and presented what he's doing in Sierra Leone and, Lord, the travels that he's made to be here this weekend and this week. Lord, I pray, God, that you give them traveling mercies as they move about the country and get back home and get settled as their own deputation. Lord, I pray, God, you'd fill up the balance of their fundraising and prepare them for the work that you have for them in Sierra Leone. Thank you, Lord, for this teaching in the Word of God. And we think about how important it is to be ready for eternity. Lord, I pray, God, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice that isn't saved, that today would be the day of salvation. For, Lord, there is no greater message tonight than the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they must be born again. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would just continue to draw all men to yourself as your word is lifted up on high. Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that as you're lifted up, you draw all men unto you. And we thank you and we praise you for that. With heads bowed and eyes closed, knowing and looking around, I think we're all home crowd, but just in case, if anyone here is not saved, anyone at all, just let me know. I think we're all home crowd. So Heavenly Father, I just pray for those that might be listening online. If there's anyone out there that isn't born again, Lord, what a shame it would be for us to stand at the great white throne judgment and watch them get cast in the lake of fire as we go into the glory that shall be revealed in us. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for living in us. And Lord, I pray, God, that we would give you all the liberty to live through us each and every day. We thank you for this time.